Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, more on that record fine for Bank of Ireland over the tracker mortgage scandal. Liz Truss doubles down on the measures that have sparked chaos for the British economy. From smoking behind the bike sheds to vaping in the toilets, we hear how vapes are increasingly popular amongst teenagers in schools. After the storm, Damien Lawler on his new book about how COVID impacted the GAA. A storm of another kind is causing havoc in Florida today. Former Lord Mayor of Dublin Royston Brady is among those battening down the hatches. And Mariah Whitney and Aretha, what is a diva? Is it just about the voice or is it more about the attitude? Text us this morning. The number is 51551. Email today, cb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, I'm joined in the studio by Minister for Further and Higher Education, Simon Harris. Minister, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. First, I want to talk to you about a report from Micheál Lehane in the newsroom last night. On the 9 o'clock news, Micheál said there was anger both within Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil at their parliamentary meetings about the 10% concrete levy. How vocal did TDs get in their opposition to that measure?
Well, unfortunately, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because I was in the Dáil chamber, I think, when that discussion took place. And of course, parliamentary party meetings are meant to be private. But look, this is obviously a challenging issue. But as my party leader and colleague, the Taoiseach, outlined, I think, yesterday, I mean, this is an effort by the government to bring in the least worst option. We have a really serious situation in this country. We know about it in relation to, obviously, MICA. We also know there's a situation in relation to defective apartments, and there's going to be a need for remedial action there. Back last November, when the government considered this whole issue around redress, the government did accept a recommendation from a report that we would look at introducing a levy. And this is an effort now in the budget to bring that forward.
Yeah, John Paul Phelan, your colleague in the parliamentary parties, reported to have said only in Ireland would we introduce a levy on concrete in a housing shortage and think that that's OK.
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. Firstly, the detail of this, how it's to be implemented, when it's to be implemented from, will be a matter for the finance bill. And of course, my colleague, the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, will engage and listen to colleagues in relation to how best to do this. But there is no getting away from the fact that there are big bills mounting up here. And, you know, I don't think there'll be many government departments willing to obviously give up money from other worthy initiatives. We all have a lot of things we want to achieve in terms of cost of living, in terms of trying to help advance public services, in terms of some of the tax cuts we're bringing in. And what we're trying to do here is accept a recommendation of a group. But I fully accept how it's done matters, mm-hmm. And how we introduce it matters. And it is complex to introduce a new levy. So let's look at what the finance bill brings in terms of both the timing and how it's implemented.
You're dealing with a sector in crisis here, and you're dealing with people who are struggling to buy a home, who are ultimately going to have to pay this additional estimated €3,000 now on their house.
Well, I think we have to, again, I'm not accepting any figures like that because we do have to see the detail. But I think there are a couple of things worth saying here. I mean, this is not, nor should it become, a conversation that's reduced to this being the only thing in the budget to try and help in relation to house building, because it's not. There are a number of measures around the vacant tax levy, around residential service sites. There's a number of measures to try and help people in terms of buying homes and helping people reduce the cost of rent so they can save for mortgages around, and the rent relief being one. But also, it's worth also saying that this was flagged back as far as last November, so it shouldn't come as a huge surprise to the sector. And secondly, on concrete products, there has been, I didn't realise this quite frankly, there had been a derogation where the concrete products have been paying a much lower VAT rate than other building products too. So look, we have to work our way through this. We'll work through it in terms of the detail, the timings and how it's operationalised in the budget, in the finance bill rather. And of course, we'll listen to colleagues and engage with them.
So sizeable majority in your party who don't support this, who want to see it rolled back on. You clearly support this measure.
Well, I'm a member of the cabinet, and obviously we all have collective responsibility in relation to all matters of the government. I think we shouldn't, I don't want to misrepresent my colleagues. I think there's a sizable number of people in parliamentary parties, in politics, in public life in general, who want to make sure we don't do anything that adversely affects housing supply. I mean, that housing is the number one priority for the government, the delivery of housing for all. We want to get this right. We will listen to colleagues, we will engage, and how we operationalise it and the timing is a matter for the finance bill.
Okay, trade. Let's move on to your own portfolio and just this issue of the once-off reduction of €1,000 in their college fees this year, which I'm sure is welcome. But are you really telling people that they're going to go back up next year?
That's the completely wrong way of looking at it. So, I mean, they're going down permanently by €500. So any household, it's this very chair and this very studio, actually, that I sat in when I took up this role and I said to you that I wanted to reduce college fees. You probably looked at me with a healthy degree of scepticism because they haven't been reduced in 27 years. I think I was making my holy communion the last time they were reduced. The only time they've been mentioned in budgets since then has been to increase them. We have made a decision to permanently reduce them by €500 in this budget for anybody earning less than 100,000. We've also made a decision to slash them in half for anybody earning less than 62,000. And this year, because we're in an immediate cost of living crisis, we've made a decision, and I worked very hard to ensure this happened, to make sure that there's €1,000 off the fees. That means 95,000 students, 95,000 parents, I'm sure, will be receiving financial support by €1,000. If you have two kids in college, this is €2,000 coming back to you before Christmas. If you've paid the fees in full, which about 20% of people do, you'll get an automatic refund. And if you haven't, the €1,000 will be knocked off.
Okay, some people are waiting to see when this scheme is going to be operational, and they're wondering, are they going to be penalised if they don't pay by the end of this month?
No, so literally as we speak, my department are meeting with the Higher Education Authority to work out the detail in relation to this. But no, I mean, in simplest terms, the €3,000 bill is now €2,000.
Okay.
So that's how colleges should.
So just to go back to what's going to happen next year.
Sure.
So you're saying that because of the cost of living crisis, the €1,000 measure is being taken this year. So are you betting that we're not going to be in the same situation next year?
No, I'm saying we have another budget next year. What I'm trying to do is provide absolute certainty to students and to parents that there is now a permanent reduction in the registration fee. The €3,000 fee has now dropped permanently to €2,500 for any family with a household income of less than €100,000. But there's more than that, because I have tried to target this measure. Anybody learning less than €62,000 will now be protected by what we call half fees. They'll never have to pay more than the €1,500. And if you don't mind me saying, we've done more in relation to student grants. So every student grant will now rise by between 10 and 14% from January. They don't have to wait till next September. And we'll pay every student who gets a grant, which is about 50,000 students, will get a bonus payment, a double payment before Christmas. So this is an effort to really try and reduce the cost of education and help families with the cost of
living. But if you're a family and the income coming in is between 62 and 100,000, next year you're going to be paying more than you're paying this year.
If you're a family paying between 62,000 and 100,000, you'll see a €500 permanent reduction. And this year, I'm giving you twice the benefit of that because it's a cost of living crisis.
Well, there's many. Look, examples. It depends on there's how you say it. But next year, I'm going to be paying 500 more than I'm paying this year. That's difficult for people to accept.
Whichever way you say it, as a result of this budget, college fees have fallen. As a result of this budget, there are countless families who will not have to pay the €3,000 again. And as a result of this budget, more than 100,000 students, whether they're apprentices, whether they're postgrads, or whether they're undergraduate students, will receive financial assistance of some sort between now and Christmas.
Okay. And why are you means testing the reduction, the €500 reduction next year? Because there's always been an argument that the fee should be scrapped altogether. I mean, is government saying now that that can't happen and won't happen?
No, the programme for government... When I became minister, the programme for government said that the student grant fees would be maintained, that they wouldn't be increased. I think you know that that didn't sit well with me. And when I published our plan to fund colleges properly and support students, I said I wanted to try and reduce it. We have now reduced it. The reason there's a means test, to be very truthful with your listeners, is I can't achieve everything in one go. And I obviously have to make the amount of money given to my department fit the policy.
Did you ask to?
Of course, every minister knows to abolish the fees in one go. No, I didn't. Absolutely not. But would I like to do more in terms of the 100,000 cap? I would. And would I like to see further reductions in fees? I would. And I now think we have a structure in place through the student grant scheme where we can target supports. We can say, you know, there's now a structure in place for any minister, myself or anyone who comes after me, to say we can actually try and do a little bit more this year on the income threshold or a little bit more on the reduction. But my main policy objective here was to move beyond this appalling vista where the only time a parent or a student ever heard the college fees on the floor of Dáil Éireann was when they were being hiked. And that had been the situation for the last 20 odd years.
We had someone who phoned in yesterday, who two students going to college and had taken out a short-term loan, €6,000 to pay those fees. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing to have to do, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and when I'm in Greystones Credit Union, I mean, I've met people in there borrowing money to pay the fees. I'm very clear on this. I mean, this is why This is why I am unapologetically working with government colleagues to reduce the cost of education. It's why we're doing a number of payments between now and Christmas. It's why we're permanently reducing fees next year. It's why we're increasing the student grants. I'm genuinely pleased that we're now putting about 150 million euro immediately between now and Christmas into cost of education measures, just within my department, plus what Minister Foley is doing in the Department
of Education. And we know the government is all about choices. So when you see universal benefits being given to people, like the double child benefit bonus coming for everybody, the energy rebate coming for everybody, if you had that money, you could probably ditch the fees altogether.
No, because you have to look at all of this in the round. I mean, I think the fact that there's going to be a double child benefit payment is really, really welcome.
For rich people as well as people who really need it.
I think it's really welcome for all people. I mean, we have a progressive tax system in this country. We have a tax system where a lot of people pay an awful lot of tax. And what we're trying to do in this budget is help the squeezed middle. You know, you've just asked me about means testing there. You can always argue about means testing things. But in this country, we've had a proud tradition around universal supports in certain areas, including children. And I think when people look at the budget in the round, I just looked at one example this morning. If you have one child in secondary school, one child in college, and you have an income of around 55,000, you're going to receive financial supports through this budget of over 4,200 euro. I don't want people probably shouting at the radio going, but you're aware there's a cost of living crisis. This is not me suggesting that people are going to feel 4,200 euro better off, but that is a lot of financial support we're trying to give people to get through a really, really challenging time around inflation, cost of living, bills going up. It's a genuine effort to try and use the state's firepower to help families, to help the squeezed middle, and also to help people who feel they work night and day, they work really hard, and they often hear budget announcements on the floor of the door and go, that's grand, but I'm not getting anything out of that. I don't think people can say that about this budget. There's something in it to help people in all scenarios. Those most in need are getting the most.
Do you think there will need to be another government intervention early in the new year? The Taoiseach seemed to suggest yesterday that perhaps that reserve fund might be needed sooner than we would have expected.
No, I heard the Taoiseach yesterday on this and I think he was very clear. I mean, what we've done is sensible, and it's particularly sensible when you look at what's happening in countries not far from here. We have funded a number of measures to help people right now with the surplus. We haven't borrowed for it. It's thanks to the hard work of the Irish people, good sound government policy, we funded those initiatives. But we've also held some money back because there's absolutely no guarantee at all that cost of living pressures and inflationary pressures will disappear. In fact, they probably won't. So we have put 2 billion euro into what we call a reserve.
Yeah, we need to use it?
Well,
early next year?
We'll need to see because what we've decided to do now, and I think it looks more sensible by the day, is we've decided to approach the electricity situation by providing three one-off credits, 200 euro probably in November, 200 euro probably in January, and another 200 in March. And we'll then be able to monitor the situation. That's the benefit of having a surplus. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of having money left in the tank. It would have been foolish to do more, and it also would have been foolish to do less.
Okay. We're getting lots of questions from PhD students and their parents.
Sure.
Wondering why they're not getting the 1,000 euro reduction.
So there are the two groups of students. It's postgraduate students and PhD students, and I might just deal with both if that's okay. So if you're a postgraduate student, you're not linked with the 3,000 euro registration fee, but what you are linked with is a student grant scheme. So any postgraduate student who has less than 55,000 euro coming into the house, we currently pay 3,500 euro towards their fees. If you're within that category, we'll pay 4,500. So there'll be an extra 1,000 euro off your fees by Christmas if you qualify for the student grant and you're a postgrad. Mm-hmm. In relation to PhD students, we have decided to increase the stipend by 500 euro. This is not the first time I've increased the stipend for PhD students. So they will get an additional 500 euro between now and Christmas. And also that 500 euro will be made permanent in 2023. I do want to say on PhD students, because I've heard them, we need to do more on this, and I've asked my officials to specifically carry out a review of supports for PhD students, so in advance of the next budget we can try and make more progress on this.
Yeah, that mightn't be soon enough for this PhD student who's worried that they may have to drop out because they just can't afford to stay there.
Yeah, well, I think, again, we have to look at the budget in the round, and we have to look at all of the measures in the round. We have taken a number of measures to try and help students, to help families, to help in relation to a whole variety of areas. Do we need to do more? Of course we do. There's always more to do. But I think as Minister, it was right and proper that I started with the focus being on the area around the 3,000 euro registration fee, where I say there hasn't been progress made in over two decades.
Right. I want to talk to you about another call we had yesterday. Mary, whose daughter is renting. She is at college, clearly. She's not working, so the parents are paying the rent and they can't get the €500 tax credit. And that was confirmed by the ministers here yesterday.
I happened to hear Mary on the interview, and I heard the response of Minister Donoghue. So again, we await the detail in the finance bill as to exactly how the rent relief credit will work, but it is clearly going to be linked to the taxpayer. And therefore, there will be some students who will qualify and there will be some students who may not qualify too. But I would also make the point to Mary, I'd make the point to any student or parent, there are supports for student renters that aren't in place for other renters. So in the budget, we have a student assistance fund, and we've announced an additional €8 million into that fund. There's more than €17 million, that means, in a student assistance fund. That fund can be drawn down on for student renters who are having challenges with rent and a whole load of other expenses.
But so the parents will be assessed if the parents are paying the rent.
That's the way tax reliefs work. And I don't mean that in any way flippantly. So I mean, this is a tax relief.
Well, that's not the way the tax credit's going to work. Everybody gets this. Every renter gets this. And that's why it's so attractive to people. Are you going to try to find a way where students who have parents paying the rent might be able to get their hands on that €500?
We always work through all these issues in the budget, but I don't wish to create an expectation here, because we need to work through this. We have made a number of very significant decisions, a package of financial support for students, for student renters, that amounts to about €150 million in total between now and Christmas. That includes €1,000 off the fees. It includes the increased student grant. It also includes the student assistance fund. There's an awful lot of interventions we have made. They are the policy levers I've had at my disposal in my department to try and help students, to help their parents, and literally every lever we've had at our disposal in the department we've used.
You know, Mary Lou MacDonald mentioned it yesterday that, you know, one of the flaws with this scheme, the rent credit scheme, is that students are locked out to a large extent if they're not connected to the revenue system.
It is true that the tax relief scheme, the rent relief scheme, is obviously linked to the taxpayer. There's no doubt about that. But we have to look at all of these things in the round. I've brought in very specific measures which have been widely welcomed by many, many parents and students who are paying these bills to reduce the bills. The cost of going to college is falling as a result of these measures for the first time in many years.
Can it be fixed? The tax credit for students where parents are paying the rent.
We're going to work through the details in relation to the finance bill, but my answer is very clear on this. The measures that I have brought in to try and help students are the measures within the control of my department. Okay. There's a reason we're giving the students back €1,000 between now and Christmas. It's a recognition of the pressures that they, their parents, are feeling around rent, around housing, around cost of living. That's why we're doing it. So that's how we're helping students.
Sinn Féin also mentioned yesterday, and they've been calling for this, a 3-year rent increase ban. Why is the government so opposed to that?
Just, I'm giving a lot of references. Sinn Féin mentioned this and Sinn Féin mentioned that. Sinn Féin probably didn't mention, just, and I do have to say this one point, Sinn Féin didn't probably mention that the cost of going to college, the registration fee effectively in Northern Ireland, is over €5,000 per year. And they haven't reduced it. They led the Department of Education up there for many years. So we do just need to be careful of what they say here and what they do there. In relation to the specific issue around a rent cap and a rent freeze, we're trying to balance the situation here. I mean, you asked me at the start around concrete and the impact that could have on supply. I mean, we constantly have to try and increase supply here. This is largely a challenge in relation to supply, and we don't want to do anything that might sound popular but accidentally could reduce supply. What I am doing, though, specifically for students, and this is a really important change, is we're changing the policy around student accommodation. I got agreement from the Taoiseach to do this over the summer. For the first time, this state is going to start spending taxpayers' money building and helping to fund college-owned student accommodation. We have been too reliant on the private market to date to do this. I admit that, I concede that. We have a number of universities in this country who have land and who have planning permission today to build.
But not money.
But haven't been building. And yep. My department literally met the sector last week on this, and I want to start getting money flowing this year. I've had conversations with the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. I want to see at least €100 million invested. We have an agreement on this policy in government, and we'll be fleshing out the details.
It's going to take
weeks.
A long time though, isn't it? You know, it's going to take time to get that off the ground.
So it is, but if every minister adopts that approach, we'll never fix the problem, right? Yep. No, genuinely, like, this is a conversation that's had every September. So I can't just be the minister who talks about student accommodation in September. We have to try and break the cycle, and that does involve somebody actually doing something different. If you have planning permissions now to build thousands of units, it's my job to get that going. Yes, that will take time. In the meantime, there are other immediate release valves.
In the meantime, we have people sleeping in cars, people sleeping in tents. You were out over the summer encouraging people to rent a room. We had people on here yesterday going, don't want to rent a room, but I've so little money, I'm going to have to do it. It just shows that we're just at such a crisis point now that you're running out of ideas if you have to try and convince people who don't want to share their homes to do that.
No, we're coming up with ideas. We're coming up with new ideas and new interventions, just like the one I've outlined that's never been done before. So there's plenty of ideas, and it's about the execution of ideas and delivery. The rent-a-room, though, I mean, I fully stand over my advocacy and support for the rent-a-room. There'd be many people who are listening to this programme who, when they went to college, rented a spare room at home in the community. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it works for everyone, but it certainly is a temporary release valve. And I have have figures here in front of me that as of yesterday, 1,587 spare rooms were advertised on college websites for rent. And what I am saying is it's certainly better than some of the scenarios you outlined there. Mm-hmm. And it also works from a cost of living point of view. If you have a spare room in a house, you can turn that room into a little bit of income. If you're an older person, we've changed the rules now so you don't lose your pension or your social welfare. You can, if you're a person of any age, you can earn a certain amount of money without having to pay tax. So like ministers, myself, we need to do two things. We need to change the system. That's what the thing you said is going to take a bit of time is about. That's why I want to build college-owned student accommodation. But we also need to provide options now. And that's where the rent-a-room scheme does help thousands of people. Thousands of students this year are benefit.
Well, rent a room, you could look at that in another way, that you're playing on people's desperation in this moment for an extra bit of money. And people like Margaret, who phoned in yesterday saying, I don't want to do it, but I have to do it because I need the money. My pension doesn't go far enough. And your solution depends on people not having enough money to survive. So they take that option.
No, I mean, I think that's hard to stand over after a budget that's just spent 11 billion euro, including increasing the pension.
It's not me
rate,
saying that. That was the caller yesterday said, I don't want to do it, but I have to
sure,
do it.
Sure, and I fully accept the real challenges that people are facing. But and without knowing Margaret's situation, I mean, in the last 48 hours, we've announced significant increases in fuel allowance, living alone allowance, Christmas bonus, pensions, double payments. But the rent-a-room scheme isn't a new scheme. For years and years and years, every year, thousands of students have found this a viable option.
But the push to use it is a plank of policy now.
I want to change the model. I want to build college-owned student accommodation on public lands.
Listen, before I let you go, in the last hour, the central bank announced that record fine on Bank of Ireland over the tracker mortgage scandal. It's 100 million euro plus. You were junior minister between 2014 and 2016 in the Department of Finance.
I was.
What do you make of that fine?
I hear it's the largest ever fine by the central bank. I welcome that. I'm not sure there can be any fine adequate or large enough to capture the utter human misery, stress and devastation that these actions by banks in our country caused. I mean, people losing their family home, people losing their property, the mental health pressures that people were put under. So I welcome the fact that there's a large fine. I welcome the fact that our regulatory structures are working in relation to that. But there is no fine.
But what
there
about accountability? Bank of Ireland knows that fine, you know, they've known for a while that a fine is coming. They set the money aside. Everybody moves on. What does it say about accountability? You know, an institution can do that. Doesn't really affect them, does it?
Like I say, I don't think there can be a fine that is large enough. I mean, I remember meeting people. I remember meeting people in my own constituency personally affected by this. And I remember the utter devastation. I think it speaks of a time, though. And I certainly hope it speaks of a time in banking that we'll never see again. I think there have been an awful lot of changes in Ireland, in Europe, around banking rules. I think there's changes ongoing around banking culture. And I think that is really, really important. So I think the fine is to be welcomed in terms of a recognition of wrongdoing. But I don't think there's any fine that is adequate in relation to this.
Minister, thank you very much for coming in. That's Simon Harris. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.